Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch at Concordia Seminary. My name is Jeff Gibbs, and I'll be spending just a few minutes working with the epistle lesson for Epiphany 5, which is from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 to the end of the chapter. I think it's quite important, actually, to place this lesson in its proper context. And to do that, I want to say something that may sound surprising, and I certainly don't perhaps mean what this sounds like, but this is not primarily a text about mission, but rather it's a text that's embedded here in chapter 9, right between chapter 8 and chapter 10, not surprisingly. And so as Paul talks about his own way of being an apostle and his own way of preaching the gospel and so forth, he's talking about it under the larger umbrella of the law of love for the neighbor and the attitude in Christ. Well, actually, it is the attitude that Christ himself has. The attitude that says, I will forego my rights for the sake of my neighbor. And part of the application of that then is how Paul preached the gospel. That is, he was willing to set aside his right to be supported by the Corinthians, for instance. Part of that is becoming all things to all people so that he might gain some and so forth. But again, it's an attitude of love for the neighbor and setting aside what one is entitled to or what one thinks one is entitled to or whatever that resulted in this attitude and these choices and actions on the part of St. Paul. So I think it's really important to set it in that context because then that provides the rationale and the motivation for a missional way of life. That is, it's rooted in Christ's own willingness to set aside his rights. It's rooted in my understanding, first of all, that the Christian brother or sister is the one for whom Christ died, so I must not sin against them and hurt their faith. And it means that ultimately my rights are not important, if indeed ultimately I have any rights at all. But rather it's out of love, out of the love of Christ and out of love for Christ and the neighbor that I become willing to change. I become willing to set aside my rightful claims. And so I just think it's so important because otherwise this text becomes just basically one more law-oriented mission text, and we ought to be all like St. Paul. And, of course, not many are like St. Paul, and so people just walk away feeling guilty. But if you set it in the proper context, then it makes sense. Christ has loved us. We love one another. That love extends to the preaching of the gospel, both to believers and also to unbelievers, so that setting aside our rights, our preferences, some might be gained. So with that as the kind of the context, just quickly going through chapter 9, beginning at verse 16, Paul says, for if I preach the gospel, it is not a boast to me. I do not have a boast, the dative of possession there. For necessity is laid upon me. This is not about me being so great or me being so passionate about mission or something. Paul says, I really have no choice here. It's not anything that's really about me. Woe to me, he says at the end of the verse, if I do not preach the gospel. For if willingly this I am doing, he says, I have a reward. But if not willingly, I have been entrusted with an oikonomia, an administration, a stewardship. So isn't that interesting? Paul even takes away any thought of his own. It's not about him. It's not because he's willing. He simply has been called into this office of apostle, just as I have been called into the office of husband or into the office of church member. Whatever office I'm called into, It's not about me. It's not about whether or not I'm willing or unwilling. I just simply have been given a stewardship, as one of the translations renders it. What then, he says, verse 18, is my reward? This, that as I preach, I might offer the gospel free of charge, adapanon, in order that I might not fully use my authority in the gospel. Again, it flows out of Christ, and it applies not just to evangelizing or evangelization, but it flows into all the areas of life. I set aside my rights. I simply am called to do these things that God has given me to do. So then Paul, again, illustrates this from his own personal experience. So, literally, being free from all, I have enslaved myself to all in order that I might gain more. Again, are there missional applications for me personally, for you, and for the congregation? Yes, but it's flowing out of a greater reality and a greater truth and attitude. Verse 20, Paul says, "And I have become to the Jews as a Jew, in order that I might gain Jews, to those under the law as under the law." Concessive participle, though not being myself under the law, in order that I might gain those under the law. It's this generous flexibility in terms of all of life, including Paul's apostolic mission and our administration, our oikonomia, our stewardship in all of life as well. To those not in the law, anomos, as anomos, probably referring to Gentiles, though not being apart from the law of God, but in the law of Christ, in order that, again, you hear it coming, I might gain those who are apart from the law. I became to the weak as weak, in order that I might gain the weak. To all I have become all things, in order that I might save some. Verse 23, I do all things on account of the gospel, in order that I myself may share, co-share, be a co-partaker of it with these other people. So again, it's not just about evangelism. It's about this reckless generosity that's willing to set aside my authority, my rights, out of love for you. Verse 24. Now, see, Paul now moves to a general application. You know, don't you, he says, that those who are running in a race run, all of them run, but only one receives the prize. Therefore, he says, in this way, run in order that you might lay hold of it. Verse 25, everyone who is struggling, every athlete in the race that Paul has just mentioned, exercises self-control with respect to all things. On the one hand, those ones, in order that they might receive a stephanon, a wreath or a crown, an aphthartan stephanon, a perishable wreath, but we an aphthartan, imperishable one, the crown of righteousness that Christ will award to us on the last day. So, therefore, Paul says, in this way I run, not as aimless. I do not puktuo, I do not box as beating the air, as if I were beating the air. No, it's much more purposeful than that. But rather, Paul says, I strike my body a blow and I bring it under control, lest somehow, after preaching to others, I myself might become disapproved or disqualified. So do you see how that works? The general application that Paul makes is not to evangelism per se for everyone in the same way, but rather he's used his own apostolic oikonomia as an example. So again, the text is not against mission, and I hope you're not mishearing me as if I were saying that we should be against mission. But no, this is a greater truth. That is, if I hold to my knowledge and to my rights and to what I deserve, then, well, Paul says it at the beginning of chapter 8, which we heard last week, that kind of knowledge puffs up. But love for the other flowing out of love of Christ, builds up. Love for the other is willing to say, I will become like you, whether it's in evangelism, in mission, or in the life of the congregation, in our families, and it all flows out of the love of Christ, the transforming love of Christ, by which he set aside his rights, his authority, his privilege, and became like us to save us.